Anything else I'm missing? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Ronnie P ain't got nothing for me this morning, Dudley. All right. He wanted me to mention that they won. That's what he wanted to mention. All right. When they was about to lose, he wasn't saying nothing, but. You saw me looking for you, huh? All right. You know you sit low over there. I can't see you. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. That's my dude, man. That's my dude. Hallelujah. Miss Yolanda, he a handful, Miss Yolanda, I'm telling you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, and we're going to kind of get going, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. So let's read verse 1 through 5 this morning. Let's check that out. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, that they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us, by the will of God." Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray you bless your word. We pray you fill me up, Daddy. I would decrease and you would increase. I pray, God, as you'd have me forget my mic at home, that I would stay close to the pattern you've given me, Daddy, that I would speak what you want me to say, and not add to it, and not take away from it, Daddy. So your people can be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give God some glory, saints. Amen. Woo. See, when I got that cordless mic, that lapel mic, I move around a lot. Yes. And he told me this morning, he said, "I want you to stay close. I want you to stay close to what I gave you." Amen. So I'm going to try my best to stay in the pulpit. Amen. And give you what he gave me, amen. And as the Spirit lead me and give me little stuff, I'll interject that. So I'm probably not going to stay in here the whole time, all right? But he really wanted me to speak this in a way, amen, that he gave it to me, amen, in the night hour. All right, with the miracle offering coming up, saints, amen, the Lord has led me to preach a series on giving, amen. Come on, give God some glory for that, amen. Now, you know, at Philly, I usually, hallelujah, don't preach about giving too much, amen, but I made it a point, amen, to preach about it at least once a year, amen, after talking about it with leaders and stuff like that, because I can go on preaching line by line and find myself not preaching or talking about giving, amen, for a long time. And so after talking about it with leaders, I said, man, I'm going to just have to do it once a year and just schedule it. Well, Philly, it's that time of year. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. If you're here, glory to God, and you're visiting, don't get up and leave just yet. All right. Because this series, amen, you're going to find that, hallelujah, you're going to learn what the Bible says about giving. And when you know what the Bible says about giving and you have that knowledge, you're going to immediately know who playing church and who really the church, amen? You're going to know the difference between the money changers, amen, and the real ministers of the Most High God. So, amen, don't get up, leave, don't turn your receiver off. No, you need to know what the Bible say about giving, amen, hallelujah, so you won't be tricked or duped, amen. And this is what this sermon series is all about. I'm coming from 2 Corinthians, saints, and in 2 Corinthians, this book, this epistle, is written by the Apostle Paul. And he wrote this letter, amen, for three reasons. Three reasons he gave that he wrote this particular epistle. Number one, they had false apostles going through the Corinthian church that he planted. And they were questioning Paul's apostleship. First, they were false. And then they were saying, Paul not an apostle, amen. Now, they really the false apostles, amen. And in this book, he say, oh, yeah, amen, such are false apostles. He say, no wonder, because even Satan himself transformed himself like an angel of light, so his ministers transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness or ministers of the Most High God. So it's one of the reasons why he wrote this book. So chapters 1 through 7 and even 10 and 13, you'll see him talk about false apostles and him proving his apostleship. Amen. Secondly, he wrote this book because he wanted to congratulate the Corinthian church on how they handled sin in their church. Remember in 1 Corinthians, he talked about the man who was messing with his daddy's wife. Y'all remember that? And he said, give him over to Satan. Listen, I don't have to be there to judge it. Y'all get this right in the church. Don't let sin just run rampant in the church. A little leaven, leaven the whole lump. You know what I'm saying? And in 2 Corinthians, he congratulated them. And he tell them, man, listen, man, y'all really did it right. And y'all had godly sorrow. You didn't have an earthly sorrow that led to death, but y'all had a godly sorrow that led to repentance. So he was congratulating them on that. You know what I'm saying? Here's the third reason he wrote it. And this is the reason most pertinent to us this morning. He wrote 2 Corinthians because he wanted to talk about giving. He wanted to talk about generosity. It's one of the main topics of this whole epistle. And so you see, the Jerusalem church was where all Christendom was birthed from. Was birthed from the place of the cross of Calvary. But that church that gave birth to the rest of the churches, because listen, they went around planting churches as they were scattered. That was the home church, the hub church, amen, the headquarters. Well, that church was going through some tough financial times. Famine conditions, persecution, it was going down. And Paul knew that. And Paul began to go to the sister churches, or rather the churches that were planted, and he began to say, listen, y'all got to help out because the church in Jerusalem is in need. And so he was going around, hallelujah, taking up an offering. Amen. And in this book, in chapter 8, he's going to get them ready for it. He's going to get them ready for an offering to help the church. Oh, this is fitting. This is fitting right here. He's going to get them ready for an offering. All right? Because you know you can't just give an offering every now and then. Sometimes you got to make people ready for an offering. Amen? Sometimes you got to get them ready for it. All right? Not through trickery or manipulation, but through the word of the Most High God. All right? And so Paul is getting them ready. And in this chapter, we're going to find a lot of nuggets about generosity and giving. All right? This morning, I'm going to start off with five of them this morning. All right? Five of them. Amen? 5 points on generosity or giving. Hallelujah. And for our intercessors, take good notes. Take good notes. If you're on the intercessory team, take notes. Take shots with your camera, because this is how I'm begging you as your pastor. Amen. I'm beseeching you. I'm urging you, admonishing you. Amen. To pray for Philadelphia in this time. These 5 points is going to be what you need to pray for this church. All right? Number one, the grace of God. And I'm going to explain it to you. The grace of God. Number two, deep poverty. I'm going to talk with you about everything that we're talking about. Number three, beyond their power. Number four, praying us. And number five, but first. That's our 5 points this morning. Y'all be praying for me. Amen. Take good notes, because this is going to change our lives right here. It's going to change our lives. Let's begin with our first point this morning, the grace of God. Look at verse 1. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. You see, when God says in his word, we do you to wit, that word wit means know. And Paul is saying right here, we want you to know. What do you want us to know about, Paul? The grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, let me show you what Macedonia is before we get too deep. Macedonia was a region of the Roman province, amen. That blue is the Mediterranean, amen. And that little boot over there, that's Italy, amen, hallelujah. But also to the right, you'll see Greece, modern Greece, amen. And that's what they used to call Macedonia. Say that with me, Macedonia. In fact, they still use that word around Greece. They got regions and provinces there that's still named Macedonia because that is the Macedonian people. And so Paul is talking about generosity and he's talking about giving. And he's telling, amen, the church, I want y'all to know something is going on in the area of giving in these churches of Macedonia. Now, Pastor, specifically tell us what's the churches in Macedonia. You'll see it up there. It's churches, amen, like Thessalonica, which we would call the Thessalonians. It's churches like, amen, Philippi. We would call them Philippians, amen. It's church like Berea. We would call them the Bereans, amen. Well, something is going down in these churches, all right, in the area of generosity. It's unreal. It's unheard of. Amen. It's miraculous what's going down, Paul is saying. And so he's going to teach us, y'all, our first principle about generosity and giving, all right? He's going to teach us that giving is a God thing, all right? It's a God thing. It comes from God. It's a grace thing. He said, I want you to know about the grace of God. It's a God thing. All right? And we should know that, saints. Because listen, the old folk used to say, if it's good, then it's God. And they get that from James 1 and 17. You know the scripture, amen? The Bible says, amen, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? It's from above. And it come down from who? The Father of lights, whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And what it's saying is that if any church is doing good in the area of giving, it's not really them. It's God. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. It's God. God done did something to that church. Well, let's look at exactly what he's done, Brother Carl, Ms. Crystal. Let's look at it here. He said, I want you to know about the grace of God. Huh? The grace of God. That's the Greek word, charis. Right? Charis. That word means divine influence. It means that you were sitting there and God poured out his power and divinely made you do something that you wouldn't normally do. Woo! Divine influence. Charis is divine influence on the heart of man. All right? It represents God's loving kindness, his favor, and it's a gift. Amen. He just move on us out of nowhere, all right? It's not something that we earn or something that we deserve. He just move on our hearts. Amen. And we normally think of grace in the area of salvation, but grace is also in the area of giving. Amen. Because just like he touch our heart to turn to Jesus, he'll touch our heart to provide for his church. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. It's a God thing. Listen to me, intercessors. Listen. Prayer warriors, you want to pray for Philadelphia? This is the area you pray for. All right? This first point teaches us that a giving church, a generous church, just like the Macedonian churches, listen, is a gift from God. It's God that awakens the people. It's God that moves them. It is God that compels them to give so that they can finish their projects and be a juggernaut in the area. If God is not moving upon the heart of men, men ain't giving nothing. Women ain't giving nothing. They'll sit there like a burp on a log, tight like a boat on a 2017. You understand what I'm saying? They ain't giving nothing. Nothing. He said, I want y'all to know that something happened in Macedonia. God poured out his grace upon a people, and they've been giving like crazy. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. So when you want to pray for Philadelphia, pray that God pour out a giving grace. Somebody say a giving grace. Come on, write that down. Take a note of that. Amen. This is where we need to be. And listen, we need to be praying this all through the month of September. It shouldn't be a prayer meeting that we come to that we're not asking God, pour out your grace of giving upon Philadelphia so that we can be a giving people. Philippians 2:13 says this, anytime we do something good, we got to understand, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Let's not get big-headed about it. Let's understand that whenever we want to do something, it's God that both will. He gets you to will. He make you want to do it. And then he causes you to do his good pleasure. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Second point, deep poverty. So we got to understand, if we want Philly to be a giving and a generous church, we got to ask God to pour it out upon the people. If God don't do it, it's not going to happen. It can't be through manipulation. It can't be through tricks. It can't be through extortion and intimidation. That's not going to work on the people. That's not going to create a viable and living ministry for any duration of time. A ministry don't last on one offering. It lasts on the generosity of a lifetime of a people. Amen? That's what it lasts on. Amen. And that's what we need God to do. Deep poverty. Look at 8:2. Look what it says. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Paul continues, saints. And he talks about the Macedonian churches. He says, yeah, they were a generous church and they were giving. Amen. But that's not the whole story. All right. Because they were given in some tough times, some difficult situations. You see, a lot of us say, I want to give, but I'm in a tough spot right now. All right? And we use that as an excuse not to be generous or not to give. And God is going to show right here, like he shows throughout all scripture, our condition and our situation should not affect our giving. Oh, God, have mercy. It shouldn't even affect it. It shouldn't even affect it, because giving is an issue of the heart. If you're faithful with little, you're going to be faithful with much. And if you're going to use the excuse, I'm not giving because I'm going through trying times, amen, when you get blessed, guess what? You're still not going to give, because you're going to always find an excuse not to give. But that's not the heart of a giver. That's not the heart of somebody who the grace of God has been poured out upon them. You'll see the church of Macedonia, hallelujah, you'll see the divine work. Even though they was in some tough situations, they still found a way to give and be generous. Look at it here. Y'all see it? The Bible says in verse 2, how that in great trial of affliction, they still gave in great trial of affliction, which is our subpoint A. This means that this church was going, y'all, through some difficult times. The Greek word here for affliction could mean persecution. It could mean pressure, trouble, burdens, distress. Amen. But even in persecution, even in trouble, even in distress, even in burdens, guess what never changed about the Macedonian churches? They kept on giving. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you, you got to find a way to give. You got to find a way to give. I know it's tough. I know it's hard. I know you're going through stuff with your marriage and going through stuff with your family and going through stuff with your health and going through stuff on your job. Amen. But never let the devil stop you from giving. Amen. Because that's all that is. I even hear people after they start tithing and after they start giving, trouble actually happen in their life. And all that is the devil trying to shake them, trying to say, are you really down with what you think you're down with? Amen. Because a lot of people, they'll give and then the little trouble happen. They say, well, I wonder if I should have gave that. The devil is a liar. Don't ever doubt what God told you to do. Amen. Though he slay me, yet still will I trust. That's what the Bible says. Amen. So I can go through. Amen. I can go through trouble, a flood, hurricane, Harvey. Amen. But guess where I'm going to be on Sunday? And guess where I'm going to be walking up to these baskets or texting on the phone? Why? Because a true giver don't give because of circumstances. We give in spite of circumstance. Oh, God have mercy. Don't come with that excuse. God don't buy that type of stuff. He don't buy that type of stuff. And that's why he said the Macedonian church, he devoted a whole chapter to this church. He said, because something special happened here. And if you're in a situation where you got relying on excuses, the special thing ain't happened to you yet. It ain't happened to you yet. It ain't never happened to you. He ain't poured out grace upon you yet. But the good news is we praying for you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. And listen, let me tell you something, man. Let me tell you something right here. The reason why the devil want to stop you from giving. And the reason why you got to continue to press to give in troubled circumstances, or like they would say, in troubled waters. Amen. Is because your giving could be your exit out of troubled circumstances. Anybody hear me up in here? Are you listening to me? I'm in trouble, amen, and it's trying to tell me don't give. But my giving could be the catalyst, the ignition to get me out of trouble. It could be my lifeline, my grappling hook. My give can make room. Oh, God. My give can make room for me. It can open a way out of nowhere. Anybody hear me up in here? You see, that's just what happened to David, all right? Come on, Jen, you know the scriptures. And Chronicles, hallelujah, or 2 Samuel, whichever one you want to look at, is parallel. But David had counted his men. He did a census. And God judged him. Graylin, Sierra, he judged him. And he was in trouble. He was under burdens. Pestilence had taken hold of the land, and the angel was right there with his sword, just wiping out hundreds of thousands of the Israelites. The angel told David, God relayed to David, listen, build your altar. Build your altar. The angel stopped at the threshing floor of Arnon, which is Mount Moriah, which is the same place where Jesus was crucified. The angel stopped at that place. Huh? And they say, David, build an altar. And don't just build an altar, put an offering on the altar. Oh, God, have mercy. Put an offering on the altar. Huh? Because you in trouble right now. You want the judgment. You want the chastisement. But if you will just build an altar and put an offering on the altar, God will see your offering and stop the He'll stop the judgment. Here we go the opposite way. Hey, God, we being judged, we being in affliction, stuff going bad. And what we do? We stop going to church. We stop giving offering. When the offering stops the trouble sometimes. Are you listening? I'm trying my best, babe. Listen to me. Look at the scriptures in 1 Chronicles 21, 22. Look at it close right here. The Bible says, then David said to Arnon, you see, because Arnon, he told David, David, listen, you such an honorable king, TP. He said, you ain't got to pay for no offering. I'm going to give you the cattle and I'm going to give you everything you need to do this. Nah. An offering can't be free. We want to give what other people gave us. We happy with somebody putting out their offering in our hand. Drop that to Philadelphia for me. And we come up and we put their offering in. But we ain't put our own in. God want an offering from you. Not your husband. Not your wife. He want an offering from you. Woo! And David understood that. Then David said to Arnon, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for what? For full price. Why? That the plague may be stayed from the people. This offering is going to stop trouble in David's life. As we move on down to verse 25, amen, Ornan offered him. He said, no, I'm going to pay full price. In 25, he says, so David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And in verse 26, and David did what? He built there an altar unto the Lord. And what did he do? He offered burnt offerings, 600 shekels worth burnt offerings and peace offerings. And what did he do? He called upon the Lord. And the Lord answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. In verse 25, after the offering, the Lord commanded that the angel, he commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Is that not a revelation? That David's offering made the angel that was judging him put his sword back in his sheath. Listen to me, man. Why continue to offer during hard times, during troubled waters, during anguish? Amen. Because your offering, hey God, could be your way out of trouble. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Now, Parker, watch this. Parker, watch this. Watch this, Parker. You're gonna understand this. What you need to know is that an offering got all of humanity out of trouble. Did you catch that, John? You see, because the cross was an offering. It was an offering. We all had sinned and fall short of the glory. We was all on our way to hell, and the wrath of God was filled up for us, towards us. But somebody made an offering for us to get us out of a bad situation, out of troubled water, to get us out of distress. And somebody made an offering for us. Hey, God, I'm telling you. Listen now, Isaiah 53:10. Can you see it there? Isaiah 53:10. Oh, God, I got to get close to it so I can see it. The Bible say clearly right here. Yet it pleased the Lord to do what to Jesus? To bruise him. Huh? He had put him to what? To grief. Huh? When thou shalt make his soul a what? An offering. Here you sitting up in here don't want to give an offering. When it was an offering that bought your soul from hell. He made his soul an offering for what? For sin. And when Jesus offered himself to the Lord, hey God, it made the Lord propitious towards us, merciful towards us. His gift made room not only for him, but for us too. Woo! He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. That's the resurrection. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Yeah. An offering will get you out of a bad predicament. And the cross is an illustration of that. Come on, look at the B point. Amen. We got to keep going. You can't give based on your condition. They were in great trial of affliction. But secondly, they were also in deep poverty. Somebody say deep poverty. That's right. That's right. Hey, God, deep poverty. That's what it says. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Listen to me. That phrase, deep poverty, Matthew Henry says it means a very low economic condition. John MacArthur takes that further and he says that this phrase refers to the most severe type of economic deprivation. He says that it's so bad, deep poverty. It is an extremely deep poverty situation. The kind of economic low that causes a person to become a beggar on the street. It wasn't just that they couldn't pay a cable bill. It wasn't that they just couldn't pay a car note. It wasn't just that their credit was bad. When he say deep poverty, it means that these churches were in almost homeless situations. They were in beggarly type situations. Huh? They couldn't even make a way to eat. Huh?
But even though they were in great trial of affliction and in deep economic, beggarly-like poverty, guess what Macedonia continued to do? They continued to give. We got a lot in here that's making excuses. And on that day, the church of Macedonia is going to stand up and look at you and say, you didn't have it that tough. You had a roof over your head. You pulled up over that inner car with gas in your car, and you got insurance on that car. Hey, God, and you ate. Look at you, you ate. You're very supple and firm. And you're going to say you can't do what? God's going to say your body testify against you. Your home testify against you. Because these people of Macedonia, they gave in deep poverty. Look at it good. The Bible says they were in deep poverty. Hey, God. But they still had something that verse 2 calls abundance of joy. Oh, I love this. I love this. Do you see it in the scripture? They was going through great affliction, deep poverty, John, but they still had, Sean White, abundance of joy. And this is what we're trying to get Hebrews at. Where your money don't affect your mood. Oh, have mercy, somebody. Have mercy, somebody. Where your money don't affect your mood. You see, if your money's still affecting your mood, you're not ready yet. What I'm not ready for, Pat? You're not ready for money yet. You're not ready for money if your money affecting your mood. You're not ready yet. You're not ready, and you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. Because whatever can affect your mood, how you're feeling, and how you're acting, it's a God in your life. And some of y'all, money is your God and you don't even have it yet. And what if God gave it to you? You would act different, man. You would act different, man. Woman of God, listen. You can't go off on the deep end and fuss with that man and act up with that man. Because things getting a little tight. You can't do that, woman of God. That's the height of immaturity. You are infant in the spirit if you're still acting like that. And you could be the very reason why y'all don't have, because the money is affecting your mood. You got to roll in poverty with abundance of joy. You got to walk around that house saying he give and he take away. You got to walk around that house saying blessed be the name of the Lord. You got to walk around that house saying, hey, God, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold, than houses all in. Because the truth is, that's all you have right now is Jesus. But Jesus is enough. He's enough. What you mad for? It's affecting your mood. And people get stuff around you and you jealous. So it's affecting your mood. It's become a God in your life and you're not going to have it. You're not going to have it because you're not ready for it. I would dare say, y'all, it's time to graduate from that. You done watch your mama do that and your daddy do that. Come on now, how long you going to be saved and still doing that? Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Those that's in Christ, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Come out that generational bondage of money worship. They were in deep poverty and still had abundance of joy. Not just that. They were in deep poverty and still abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now watch this. Now watch this. That word liberality in the deep context of the Greek means generosity. You'll see it in your Bible in the subscript. Some people say simplicity or singleness of mind. No. That's a surface interpretation. Go back to the Greek. Do your lexicon, Strong's Concordance, study yourself. And you're going to see, hallelujah, in accordance with the context of what Paul is dealing with, that this is generosity that he's talking about. And you're going to see it is going to fit perfectly as a puzzle piece. He said it was in deep poverty, but they still had joy. They were in deep poverty. They did not have material wealth. You hear me, Trish? They were not rich wealth-wise, materially. But they were rich in generosity. That's what he means. They abounded in the riches of their liberality. They were rich in generosity. Now, me as a pastor, I take a person rich in generosity instead of a person rich in money. Carl, listen, man, your intercessory team, this is what I need you to pray. God, pour out the grace of giving on Philly. Not just that. Make our church rich in generosity. Woo! Riches. Riches of the liberality. Listen to me. Because you could have nothing and be rich in generosity. You could have nothing. You could have nothing and be rich in generosity. You could be a giver and have nothing. You know what I'm talking about. That's my pastoral prayer for this church. That even before our businesses, even before our supervisory positions, and even before our investments begin to return, and returning they are. Even before, though, all right, that God would find us rich already in generosity. You see? Oh, you got to hear me up in here. You got to hear me up in here. It reminds me of the woman, the widow with her mites. Jesus said in Luke 21, oh, we going with it. We going with it now. Jesus said in Luke 21, he watched all the rich people and go in the temple and dump they, hallelujah, watch me now, Kevin. They was dumping wheelbarrows of money in the offering. But this old woman come, a widow, no husband, no way of provision. She come in there with two what? Two mites. Pastor, what's a mite? Huh? What's a mite? A mite, amen, is 1/8 of a penny. That means that her two mites was 1/4 of a cent. That means you take a penny and you cut it in half. And you still got more than her. So you got to take that half a penny. Watch me, PCA. Watch me now. Watch me. I'm doing fractions. Watch me. You got to take that penny, cut it in half. And then you got to take that half a penny and cut that half in half. She had 1/4 penny. And she came and put that 1/4 penny in the offering. And I always like to say that that little piece of copper was probably so thin. Hallelujah. It made no sound when she dropped it. And she dropped that. Everybody was like. That thing floated to the bottom. You know? It didn't make a sound on earth. Oh, God. You hear me, Lynn? It didn't make a sound on earth. But let me tell you where that 1/4 penny made a sound at. It made a sound in heaven. It made a sound in heaven. It made a sound in heaven. And that's where you want your offering to make a sound. You want it to make a sound in heaven. All right, you want to be rich in generosity. And to be rich in generosity is all about proportional giving. Proportional giving. You could be wealthy, amen, and give a lot, but it's not a lot as far as what you make. You give an offering, you drop that in there, and them ladies at the front, they go like this down. But it made a loud sound on earth, but it didn't make a sound in heaven. Because that 1,000 of you ain't nothing. You a billionaire. But that 1,000, to somebody that's just making 12, 20,000 a year. And they finally get a breakthrough. And they done got that thing in, amen, and they come into the house of the Lord. And the divine influence had moved upon their heart. They shouldn't be giving it. No, they shouldn't. But God told them to give it. And God will tell you to do some things that you shouldn't be doing sometimes. And they walk up there to that altar, God. Hey, God. Because they've been watching everybody else breaking the Lord off something. And they say, God, when my day come, I'm going to break you off something. And I don't care what it look like on paper. I don't care what they say. Hey, God, I've been waiting for this. And hallelujah, my time is finally here. And I'm coming to the altar with it. It might not be a lot to Mr. Rockefeller, but it is a lot to me. Hey, God, I'm coming with my widow's mite. And they drop that in that offering, amen. And don't mean a lot to everybody, but it mean a whole lot to them. And I'm telling you, hey, God, though you'll never hear it on earth, hey, God, it's going to clang in heaven and resound in heaven. It's going to be like a Cornelius offering in heaven. Come up as a memorial before the Lord. They were rich in generosity, and that's what she was. And as your pastor, I would rather that than anything else. You ain't got to be business owner just yet and doing all that. And this. Listen, just be rich in generosity, man. Be ready to give, man. When the church needs you, amen, you stand up with everything that you got. I'm looking for the widow's mite, man. But some of us sit there and do absolutely nothing. You're not rich in generosity yet. You see? And let me tell you why the devil want to stop you from being rich in generosity. All right? Because those who are rich in generosity ultimately become rich. Oh! You don't want to hear the truth. You don't want to hear the truth. The reason why you're not doing better than you are right now is because you're not rich in generosity yet. When you become rich in generosity, you're going to become rich in material resources. He said that word in church, rich. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the Bible talk about it. Huh? The blessing of the Lord make it rich. Huh? The reason why y'all struggling, because y'all running from that word and should be running towards it. You see? Because when you got, you could do more for the kingdom. When you got, hey, God, ain't going to be no little petty fussing around the house. When you have something, oh, God, you move to another level of caring about things, because you're not just worried about yourself. Now, you can help other people out when you got something to work with. God can use you on a different level. Huh, Deacon? Listen to me now. Listen to me. Rich in generosity. The devil would stop you from being rich in generosity. He put that on your mind. You already ain't got none. Don't you be going up there and give. Let the other people give that got something. When the trick is, the people that got some only have some because they rich in generosity and been given. He's stopping your blessing. How you know that if I become rich in generosity that God going to bless me, Pastor? Look at his word in Luke 6:38. Go to his word. And just don't read it, amen, as a tradition. Read it with your heart, man. He said, give. Be rich in generosity. And what? And it what? It might? It might? It maybe? It could be? Give and it shall be given. There's no way around that. There's no way around that. And God's word can't be broken. The rich in generosity, hey, God. Going to be rich in material wealth. Given it shall be given unto you what? Good measure. Pressed down. Shaking together. Running over. And what's going to happen right here? I can't stop it. Shall what? Men give unto your bosom. When you're rich in generosity, not only will God miraculously bless you unexpectedly, but listen, Jennifer, and listen, Jenna, wherever you go, men and women going to begin to bless you. That's what God going to do, all right? Meaning like when you a giver, you go to your job, amen, and all of a sudden now you got a raise. You like, wait, I got a what? Yeah, I got a raise. You go that next time, I got a promotion. I got a what? Yeah, men giving to your bosom. You go to the grocery store, hey, somebody in the back of the line say, I'm going to pay for all that you got. Don't worry about that. Men going to start giving to your bosom. You got to pay something. They tell you, look, forget about that car note for this month. It's Christmas, amen. Hallelujah. Y'all ain't got to pay that. Men will begin to give unto your bosom. I'm telling you. Some of y'all saying, why nobody ever give me nothing? Because you ain't giving the Lord nothing. You see, the heart of the king is in the Lord's hands. Watch me now. Don't you want people to bless you? I know I do. I want people to bless me. I want a good deal on the house tree. I want a good flipper. I want something that's going egg. I want a deal. Huh? I want to walk up to that closing table and that boy say, listen, I know this house worth 125, but I'm going to give you for 25. That's what I want. I want how men shall give. Hey, they shall give. But that come from being rich and generosity. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Y'all still up out there? I'm telling you, man, I'm giving the game up here. Yeah. This is the game. This is it. I can't do no more for you, no. I can't do no more for you. This is it right here. How do I get it? How do I be blessed? How do I, hey, God, have so many things going on, books and this and that. How do I do it? How did he do it? He's rich in generosity. Rich in generosity. Third point, beyond their power. Come on, don't go to sleep on me here. John, stay with me, because listen, you got a millionaire's anointing on you, John. Don't stay with me, John. I'm telling you, John, stay with me, John. And they got a bunch of y'all in here. It's our season, Sean White. It's our season. But you got to do it according to the playbook. You can't be running out there doing your own thing. Stick to the play, man. And we're going to get a touchdown. Beyond their power. Look at verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea. And beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. I love this verse in the NLT. After I broke it down in the Greek, I found that the NLT did one of the best jobs in translating this thing. Amen. And it says, listen, look at it in NLT. I'm going to try this side. Amen. My bad eye going to be working good. All right. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford. Three words right here. But far more. Stop right there. That's what that verse 3 means. Beyond their power, they gave what they could afford. They gave with their ability, hallelujah, mandated. They gave within their means. They gave, hallelujah, what they was able. But this Macedonian church didn't stop with giving, hallelujah, in their means and in their ability. Hey, God. Hallelujah. Matthew Henry said they gave not only what people expected them to give, but they gave far more, right? This means, saints, that you got to give what's expected, right? And for us, what's expected, listen, we know that's the tithe, it's proportional giving. That's the tithe. We got to give that. That's a no-brainer, all right? But sometimes you got to go beyond that. Oh, help me, somebody. Not everybody want to hear that, Miss Bridget, but I appreciate you, hallelujah, encouraging me here. Listen now. You got to go beyond that sometimes, all right? I'm not talking about every Sunday you go for broke. I'm not saying that. Don't do that. This ain't that type of church, all right? This ain't a pat-down, beat-down type of church where we're trying to get everything out you, and then you're going to be back here on Monday to pay your rent. Nah, man. We're not trying to do that. But what I am saying is that though it's not every Sunday, there are going to be some Sundays where God whispered to you. And he's going to tell you, Mark, I know we normally give this. But this Sunday, we're going to give far more. We're going to go beyond the plan. We're going to go beyond the tithe. That's what the Macedonian church did. Paul them was expecting this, and they came out and did this. Oh, God have mercy. And they did that in deep poverty. They did that in great trial of affliction. They did that, amen. I'm telling you, man. Somebody say, more than what's expected. This is sacrificial giving, y'all. This ain't Old Testament giving. This ain't just buy the letter, amen, and you do your little calculations on your little, hallelujah, on your little sheet of paper or on your little calculator, and it come out with that, and that's exactly what you're going to give to the penny. It's not that Old Testament stuff. This is a New Testament type of giving. This is a Jesus cross of Calvary type of giving. That when I could give this, I'm giving more than that. I'm giving above that. God, greater love had no man than this. Then a man would lay down his life for his friend. That's the type of giving that Macedonia did. All right? And I'm telling you that in your Christian walk, God is going to move you in seasons like that. Grayland, it's not every day, man. And we don't expect the people to come every day. But it should be once in a while. Where you hear the voice of God and your heart break. And you see the church in a situation and you move. You move like Haggai. You move like Nehemiah. You move like Ezra. You say, no way the church going to be in this condition while I'm living like this. No way. And your heart is broken. It's no manipulation. It's no trickery. Amen. Nothing like that. No. It's just the people of God hearing their God. And they come in. And they say, continue, they say, listen, I've done this amount every Sunday. I've done this amount every time I got paid. But this Sunday going to be totally different. I'm going to give more than what's expected. I'm going to shock the Lord, Madison. Isn't that something? That every Sunday the Lord know what you're going to do? She going to give just that. Huh? Now, take this with grandson. He omniscient, so you can't really shock him. But come on, play with me here for a second. But you come there and you go beyond. All right? What that mean, Pastor? That mean, look, for some of y'all, that mean, hey, God, you come and you dip in your savings. Yeah, I said it. That's what Macedonia did. Oh, Pastor, don't talk about my savings. You can talk about my mama, but don't you talk about my savings. Listen to me, man. If you ain't never heard him tell you, go beyond. You ain't ready yet, though. You ain't ready yet. On the football field, Keith. On the basketball field. Coach will always tell you, give me more, man. Coach, I'm giving 100%. What they say, John? Give me 110. Now, if you're going to do that on the field, how you not going to do that in life with your maker, man? When he tell, you hear me, T? When he tell us, hey, God, I know and I'm happy with what you be doing. I'm happy with what you're doing. But right now, I need 110. I need 110. I need 110. You see, for that miracle offering, that's the call, baby. That's the call. You see what I'm saying? And listen, big time players following along, make big time plays. Listen, man. This word ain't going to be for everybody. No, I'm going to get to it when I get to the end. This word ain't for everybody, man. I'm talking about the game breakers. I'm talking about the game changers. I'm talking about people in here that's grown folk in the spirit. You know what the Most High God said. You can hear his voice. You know when he moved. That's the people I'm talking to. Those that is just, go ahead, buy the CD, get it later. Listen to it later. Listen to it in a year or so, all right? And I'm not talking about something that I don't do, man. He said, beyond their power, beyond their power. Yeah, there should be times in our lives when we also give above what we able. And listen, some of them churches out there, Mel, what they'll do is they'll take the scripture above that was able and they'll tell you, go get you a loan on your house and come back to church and give us the money that the bank give you. Don't you ever do that. Don't you ever do that. That's not what God's talking about here. Don't you ever go get no loan to give to no church. Don't ever do that. How in the world you gonna go to payday loan to come get $300? Don't ever do that. All right? That's not the answer. The answer is start where you're at. Be rich in generosity. Hey, God, you come with your 5, then increase to 10. Hallelujah, then increase to 100. It's start where you're at, man. Amen? Come on, give God some glory for that. Amen? You got to give above and beyond sometimes. Listen to his voice and you're going to hear it. Point number 4, praying us. Praying us. Y'all still up out there? All right. Is this helping somebody? Is this all right? Is this cutting the scripture right? Amen. Come on now, help me out now. We just going through this chapter. Amen. And listen, I'm just telling you what Paul told the Corinthians. Amen. He told them about a church, the churches in Macedonia. And that's all I'm telling you about. All right? Ain't no twisting no arm. Ain't no nothing like that. All right? I'm trusting that you're going to hear God. My sheep, they know me. They hear my voice, God say. That's all I'm trusting in, man. All right? Praying us. This point actually starts off in verse 3. You see? Sound booty, if you can go back to verse 3. The Bible tells us, listen, they gave beyond their own power, man. But look at the last part. They were willing of themselves. This means that they voluntarily did it, man. Ain't nobody had to twist their arm. Or like one place I was in, Miss Keela, they locked the door on us one time. I'm in Baton Rouge. I come for a worship experience. Man, that minister went to the door and locked that door behind him, man. I said, oh, Lord, it's about to get deep up in here. She turned around and she said, we hadn't got what we came here for. I said, Lord, is she going to pull out a gun? Is this an armed robbery? You understand what I'm saying? And listen, it was deep up in there. I was sweating. Listen, Duane, I was ready to give her anything she wanted. I was ready to go. We up in that 3-4 hours. I'm like, man, what do you need? I wear a size 11. You want what? Hey. All right? And when that's going on, that's not right. That's not right. They gave, listen, willing of themselves. It was a free will offering, man. It was God that moved on a man, and they say, man, I gotta do this, man. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't nobody pressuring them, man. It wasn't no trickery. Wasn't no pyramid scheme, amen. Me up in here showing boats and how. Wasn't nothing like that. You know? Because sometimes you can twist that stuff. It's the truth, yeah. But you could twist it to make it sound like a money scheme. You know? And you don't want to ever do that, man. They gave willingly. And sometimes, amen, people do that in churches, amen. They pass one offering, first offering. Then they pass second offering. Then they pass third offering. They pass fourth offering. And some of them give you a basket to leave with. Just take the basket home with you. Just go ahead, put it in your pocket. Anytime you feel led, just. That's too many baskets, man. Too many baskets. All right? That church need to go back to the prayer closet and pray that God would pour out a generous spirit upon the people. They need to teach about the richness of generosity. Amen. And I'm praying that these things will soak into Philadelphia. They were willing of themselves. All right. Look at the other thing. All right. So no coercion, no pressure, no urging, no manipulation, no intimidation. They were willing of themselves. Look at verse 4. Amen. They were praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Now, this right here is a pastor's dream. Let's look at it in the NLT to get the full effect of this, all right? All right? The Macedonians, when it was offering time, Paul said, they begged us. They begged us. How many people ever heard of a church saying, Pastor, please take up an offering? Pastor, please talk about finances. Pastor, peace. I've been hanging with Omar too much, man. He said, peas, Daddy? I said, boy, I don't eat no peas. I need to start since we've been. Listen. He said, they begged us. All right? They not only begged for an offering. The Bible says it was written in the present tense. They begged us again and again for the privilege, because that's what an offering is. That's what an offering is. Come on, Michelle. That's what an offering is. Bro, James, it's not, listen, when you're seeing it as, I got to get, it's a privilege, man. The creator God of all the earth is giving you an opportunity to partner with his work in eternity for the salvation of mankind. to snatch them from the clutches of the adversary and deliver them from a wicked and fallen world system and get them out of living in the flesh so that there will be no rapes, no drug, no molestation, and none of all that. And God is doing his work in the earth. And he come out and he said, anybody want to partner with me? Some of y'all are more excited to partner with Apple and IBM than you're willing to partner with the Most High God. They begged him, Paul, please, come on, man. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in this gift. Listen to me, man. And there's some in here. Pastor, you need to talk more about finances. There's some that done told me, Pastor, you need to go ahead and pass an offering during Bible study. And listen to me good. That's all under prayer right now. You understand what I'm saying? Because when you understand giving and you understand the Lord, you know what the Lord tell his people in Exodus? He said, don't ever come before me empty. Don't ever come before me empty. Don't come before me empty. Listen, the way it worked in the days of the kings, when you went to visit a king, like when Sheba went to Solomon, you don't walk in the presence of a king with your hands empty. Hebrews, listen to me now. Y'all been doing that empty-handed worship. You've been in this American Babylonian system far too long. You don't know how to treat a king. So you come to him like you would come to Obama or to Trump. You come looking for something. Before you look for something from the king, you better come in there with something for the king. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, if somebody understand what I'm talking about. Come on, man. So they've been telling me, Pastor, listen, you better do something on Bible study. All these people coming in, there's 700-800 people for Bible study. People from other churches come and get this word. Come and learn about life skills from the word of God. And they come in here empty. Getting their marriages fixed and getting their children right and learning about this and about that. And coming before the Lord. Getting all of that benefit and coming empty. I dare you go to McDonald's empty like that and see if you're going to get something. I dare you go to Walmart empty and see if you're going to get something. Listen to me now. We got a problem, dog. It's Egypt. And if you even offended by me saying this, by telling you what thus said the Lord, that's how deep in Egyptian captivity you still are. You don't come before the king empty, man. You don't come before the king empty. Might be the reason why when you come to Bible study, you ain't receiving nothing. Yeah, it's under prayer. It's under prayer. I'm serious. It's under prayer. Because we got work to do, man. You understand what I'm saying? And look, minister, I'm giving mine, yeah. I'm giving mine. And they won't look at what I got and what I have. And you know what I'm saying? No, don't judge me. Because I'm giving mine. You would have it too if you was giving yours. I'm a giver, man. That's why when I'm on my bed, I wake up, ooh, a real estate practice. That's why I'm on my bed, I wake up, ooh, a book. You understand what I'm saying? Ooh, my wife will wake up, ooh, kingdom clean. I can't tell y'all everything we doing. But I you know what I'm saying? T, I'm trying, you know, Doug, I'm just saying, because I'm real. You know what I'm saying? Y'all don't need to know all my business. But when you see me blessed, look, man, I'm living this thing, man. They beg them, man. I'm telling you, they got people in here. They got people like that. Miss Mary Ross. Miss Mary Ross used to be on me. Y'all remember a time at Philly we didn't even do an offering? Y'all remember? Listen, remember that. And remember that represents your pastor's heart. You see what I'm saying? If it was up to me, listen, I'd pay for it all and y'all wouldn't have to do nothing. That's always been my heart. but it don't do nothing for you. This would Phil do me, Misha, because every time we go somewhere, I want to bless him.
Like Brother Doug said, mm-hmm.
And what they've been doing, man, them ball been pushing me out the way, man. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I get a little offended. Man, hey, man, don't touch your pastor like that, man. But Phil will tell me, he say, listen, now, we want to be blessed too, now. We want to be blessed too. You can't, because that, Miss Connie, I know what the Lord says. So when I got a child of God with me, or I see a child of God in need, huh, Miss Katina? Oh, no. And if I know they're a child of the King, oh, you can come to me. Oh, yeah, because this is an investment, baby. Come quick. Come on. Because I believe the scriptures. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right, listen, we got to get back to it, man. Y'all holding me up. They were praying us. Literally means they begged us. Right? They begged us. All right? When the grace of God is poured out on the people, Exodus 36 comes into effect. Moses was building the tabernacle. Miss Irola knew her Bible. Moses was building a tabernacle. And so in around verse 25, he issued an edict to the people. He said, people of God, listen. Now listen, we need y'all to offer to get this tabernacle built. All right? Now Moses ain't never told the people, y'all come and y'all work on the tabernacle. He ain't never said that. Because God had already chosen the men, the experts, the masters, amen, are Holiab and Beaziel, little Johnny, little B in the hood. Yeah, him. God chose who he wanted to work on it because he wanted a level of excellence. He told the children of Israel, don't worry about the work. Come and give the offering. This applies to us because in prayer, I hear y'all, we praying. And I'm praying for provision, and y'all praying, God, help us to go in there and work. I don't need y'all to work. The level of excellence and expertise that we need and that God had already selected is workmen. I got the people already. Mr. Seymour on the roof, you can't do what Mr. Seymour can do. Mr. Baptiste with the units and the air condition. Sergio with sheetrock, you can't do what Sergio can do. Cole on the flow, you can't do what Cole on the flow can do. You can't do that. All right? So, Miss Denise, they want to pray. God, we want to get in there and work. No. That's not your part. You're out of position. And you looking to come me to call a work day and go, hallelujah, do some work like we used to do in 201 when stuff was all messed up and crooked. Some of the teachers laughing like, ooh, Lord, that's what happened to that building. Yeah, we did it ourselves. We in a different place right now. We building a tabernacle. It's got to be excellent. I ain't calling no work there. You know why? Because a lot of y'all looking for an excuse to not offer. So listen, don't pray no more for workers. We got the workers. Don't pray no more for that. We don't need no workers, man. You know what I'm saying? We don't need no. You sell insurance, man. What you gonna come do on that roof? We don't need no workers, man. Let me tell you, your pastor needs you to be rich in generosity, man. To do like Moses did. Just come bring it. You understand what I'm saying? And when God pour out grace upon a people that they understand the work and they understand what's needed. Amen. Hallelujah. You ain't got to come here and get dirt and get tired. Tree. You ain't got to do that. All right. You got to do that. You all right? You hear me, Miss Deborah? Huh? I'm making sense up in here. Now, look what happened, Cole. Look what happened. In Exodus 36, 5, Look what happened when the people did what was right. Because, cool, like at your job, you don't need nobody to bring no clippers. Cool, I started on this side, you know what I'm saying, because I wanted to help y'all. Man, just bring your head over here, man.
Cool, like, yeah, that makes sense, Pastor.
Wind up having to work twice. Just do your part, man. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work that the Lord commanded to make. The next verse, in verse 6. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. This is a dream right here. This is a dream right here. This is a dream right here. That we all get in our position, we all do what we're supposed to do, and what God is saying, you have more than enough in here to get it done, and if they do it right, we're going to have to tell them, all right, stop, okay? Stop, just stop. No more Sean White. No more Miss White. Stop it now, all right? Listen, don't you dare give any more to that building. All right, we done. Y'all done gave too much for the workers. That's when a people that are touched by God, not manipulated by man, touched by God, huh? Isn't that God's style? He do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask, hope, or imagine. You tell the people the building project, man, y'all chill. Don't give no more. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Yes, and I will do it too. I will do it after y'all. Listen, I will do it. All right? Point number 5. But first. You know? The Bible say in verse 5, and this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So Macedonians, man, the churches, they did it, Malvo. They did it, man. They gave far beyond. A spirit of generosity was on them, you know. They was in deep poverty and distress. They still did it, man. They did it, man, you know. But Paul said they did something even better than that. They had their priorities right. He said they not only gave the offering, he said, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord. And this is where it begins, saints. The priority here that Paul is laying out is that the Macedonians, amen, had it right. Giving is good, but salvation is better. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? All right? Because listen to me, man. Don't ever get it twisted that somehow we want your money and not your soul. No, you could keep your money, baby. Your money could perish with you. But one thing I want you to do before you ever leave this place is get right with your maker, amen, and know that Jesus Christ is your Lord. This message is for believers, saints. This last part is for everybody else now. This is for believers. If you got salvation right, then we can move on and talk about tithes and offering and giving. But if you're not right with your creator, with your maker, if you have not made peace with your God, you got to put first things first up in here this morning. They first gave themselves, their own selves, unto the Lord. You got to get right with God first, saints. You got to surrender him. You got to make him your Lord and your Savior, saints. I remember meeting one dude on Simcoe, amen, when we went out witnessing, amen. And he was up there, man. I'm talking about gangster out, amen. He probably looked like he had drunk a little something, and I'm witnessing to him. And as soon as I walk up to him, he said, Pastor, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Even though I don't go to church, I send my offering. He looked like old hustler, Keith. You know what I'm saying? I send my offering, dirty money, you know. And at that point, I realized he think that giving his tithe is synonymous with him giving his soul to Jesus Christ. And money churches will have people feeling like that. As long as you giving, that somehow you all right. That's not the way salvation works. Anybody hear me up in here? The way salvation works for those that need to hear this part of this sermon is that, number one, you admit you a sinner. You believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you confess and you open your mouth and you call upon him. And the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the way salvation works. You don't pay your way in. You couldn't afford heaven. You couldn't afford heaven. Listen, the streets are made of gold up there. You can't afford to get in there. You can't afford. They got neighborhoods we can't afford. They've got concrete. They got streets of gold up there, Kev. We can't afford that. You know? We just got to get under the blood. We got to get in Christ. You know what I'm saying? It's by our faith we save through grace. Right? And until you save, this whole message to you is going to be nonsense. Listen to me now. If you really not saved, you ain't going to want to give nothing to the church of God. The Bible said that Paul said they gave, hallelujah, their own selves to the Lord first, and then unto us by the will of God. That's the priority. All right? If you're not saved in here, this message is mumbo jumbo. This message may even be offensive to you. Because giving to the Lord is a proof of your love for him and your devotion to him. Oh, I'm going to get to that. Watch next week. Watch next week. Watch next week. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. You see, he who has been forgiven much. Y'all gonna make me cry up in here, man. He who has been forgiven much. Simon, you hear me up in here? Loves much. And when I look back over my life, and my mistakes that I have made, and the way he's forgiven me, man, and saved me, and blessed me, and gave me a wonderful wife, and children, and when I and then made me a pastor on top of that, I say, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? Because it all belongs to you. Come on, Deanne, you know how I used to roll. What do you want? Out of all this you done gave me? Is there anything that I can withhold from you now? You can have it all if you want. I'll put it all on the altar for you, Daddy. I give it all right now. I give my life away. But that's only when you're truly saved, Graylin. That's when you can come and call Pastor up and say, Pastor, I got something for you. It can't wait till Sunday. If you ain't saved, you can't feel what we're talking about here. That's why you're offended, because you ain't got first things first yet. Listen to me now, Robert. When you done beheld that cross, when you done fix your eyes on Calvary, ask for what you want. Ask for what you want. It's a sign of salvation, man. If you're holding back from the Lord, it could be a few things. Number one, go back to the ABCs. Check yourself. Because when it's in there, ain't nothing he can ask me for. Listen, man. He could take it today. He could take it today. Number two, you could be saved, but you grew up in tough times. Your bologna sandwich and you. So you got this fear that if you give, you're going to be back to the hard times you was at. And the fear of man worketh a snare. You'll never get where God wants you to be if you're operating in that fear. That's why a lot of Christians don't give you. Because they know where they came from. It was hard, Miss Shirley. And if we give, I don't want to be back in that place. You got to overcome that. You're not trusting the Lord. You're trusting in yourself to make things happen. Third reason is because, listen, your church hurt. You done been taken advantage of, or you done been on that TV and saw this one and that one using the people of God. So you say to yourself, I ain't giving nothing. I ain't doing that. You know? Because some false ministers doing this, you won't bless the real church. So the devil has won. You know? And Philly, listen good now. Your pastor, amen, has to be different for the calling of our church. All right? So, yeah, I'm a pastor, but I do a lot of other things. Core tell you. Bryce will tell you. Every business opportunity that come my way, I say I'll be a part of it. But what I tell them, I want my cut. I'm an entrepreneur, all right? So listen now, listen good. Don't be looking at what I have and what I do and where I live, because listen, this church paid me a little salary and I'm happy with that. But it's going to come a time, amen, where I'm going to tell the church, keep your little salary. Keep it. Keep it. Keep it. Give it someplace else. All right? That's my mission. That's my goal. So don't be looking at me and what I ask. Don't do that. Don't do that. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what you're supposed to do. And if you got some questions, come ask me. Don't shoo-shoo. Come talk to me. Come talk to me. Come talk to me. Don't shoo-shoo. Come talk to me. I'm going to tell you what's happening. I'm going to tell you what I got it for, where I bought it, what kind of interest I'm paying on. I'm going to tell you it all. Father, I can't do much more. All I got is your word. All I got. You're going to have to do the rest. Pour out your grace, Daddy. Pour out your grace, Daddy. I can't change the hearts. You only can. Pour out your grace, Daddy. Pour out your grace. Where they've been hurt at, heal them, Daddy. Where the devil has sown lies, pluck up those lies. Pour out your grace. Pour out your grace. Pour out your grace. We want a generous church, Daddy. We don't want to struggle as a ministry while just a few people carry the load. We want everybody to pull their load. And we want everybody blessed. Daddy, you know the people in here that are not blessed is because of their own doing. Show them that, Daddy. And let them do right. If we do it right, Daddy, one of us will put 1,000, but two of us will put 10,000. So now there's been some convicted asking the question, do I really have it? If I'm so
so tight, so thrift with God. Do I really have it? Am I really saved? That as we call this altar call, bless them to come. And even the Christians who have not been doing what they're supposed to do, bless them to come. Even those that have been hearing you tug on their heart to offer something special, have them to come. We pray you do it, Daddy. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 The altar is open. Come. 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 Ushers that's doing communion, y'all come as well. We went a little long, but we had so much to talk about. This is the difference of the breakthrough and being broke. This is it. This is it. I'm trying to expose the trick of the adversary. Because he's playing with your mind. Because he's trying to keep you broken, busted. But we're going to pray through today. We're going to pray through today. We're going to pray through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here we go, saints. Everybody under the sound of my voice, say thank you, Father. Thank you, God, for giving me your Son, Jesus Christ. I admit I've sinned against you, and I'm so sorry. Lord, please save me, a sinner, and change my heart. Help me to see the offering of the cross. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the grave. And I believe you're coming back again. Lord, save me and change my heart. Pour a spirit of generosity upon me. I need your help. Open my heart as you have given to me. Help me to give to you. Whatever's stopping me, remove it. Whatever lie the enemy has placed in my mind, remove it. I need a breakthrough. And as I am generous with you, please, Lord, be generous to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Give God some glory. Give him some glory. I feel something different. I feel something different. Do you feel that? I feel something different. I feel something different. You know? I feel something different in him. Yeah. I think we're about to see a new season here. We done found the answer. We done found the answer. We done found the answer. God's people, his Israel, to get back to giving, to come out of Egypt and get back to giving. You see, listen, our ushers gonna come and serve us communion. And with communion, remember, we are just remembering what he has given to us.
All right? That's all that is. He gave his body. He gave his blood. And we can't give a little piece of green construction paper. There's something wrong with that. Take you one. Thank you, Miss Grace. You can go in the back and take you one from the stations in the back. Amen. If you're here and you really don't love God or want to be a part of God's kingdom, then I'd say don't take one. Amen. As a brother who just poured out his offering on the altar, if you leave in here and you feel a compulsion to get it right and give, you can give in the boxes of the back. You can do as the brother did. You just, you know, you let the Lord lead you this morning. All right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, sister. Bless you. Bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. You let the Lord lead you. Amen. You let the Lord lead you. Amen. And God's going to bless you. If he touched your heart, if he spoke to you to give some, then you give some. But you let it be him that do it. Amen. We not operating like that. He going to lead you to giving. All right? They got boxes in the back. They got the altar like some people doing. Amen. We got givers over here, man. You know? We got people that saying, Lord, I surrender all to you. You've been way too good to me. I surrender all to you, God. They can't ask me nothing. You know? So go ahead and take that bread out. Amen. And I couldn't be a better Sunday to teach about giving, huh? Especially as we remember his gift. Go ahead and take that bread out. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Take that bread out. And the Bible tells us clearly, on the night that he was betrayed, it's good, sister, let the Spirit lead you. Praise the Lord. On the night that he was betrayed, the Bible says he took bread, he broke it, he gave thanks. He said, this is my body. This is my body, which is broken for you. That's my gift. Jesus said, this is my offering. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Let us eat together. In the same way he took the cup after supper, he said, this is the New Testament in my blood, which I'm shedding for you. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. You were saved by an offering. You see? Lord, we remember your passion, your blood and your body that you gave for us. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And I thank you for loving us and giving the ultimate price. We remember your gift in Jesus' name. Take the cup, saints, and pass them on down. Listen, I see the ushers that put the baskets out, amen, but you be led, amen. You can do it. You could not do it. You just be led. Amen. These brothers about to bump into each other to do it. Amen. Bless y'all in the mighty name of Jesus. It's all upon you. We going to be a God-driven church. Amen. God going to move your heart. God going to move your heart. Amen. But it's no question. Your church needs you now. Your church needs you now. Listen, we going to pray. Amen. And we going to get out of here. Amen. Hallelujah. Gracie, come on, pretty. Come on, pretty.
Hallelujah. Bless you, brother. Bless you in the name of Jesus. Bless you. Bless you as we walk out. Hallelujah. The altar is yours. Bless you, brother. Bless you, brother. Bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yeah, y'all do y'all thing. Come on. Y'all do y'all thing. Whatever y'all want to do. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with peace. In the mighty name of Jesus. We're going to sing that doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Right, I have a LG phone. Somebody left a telephone in the seat near the back of the church on the left side. It's an LG phone and a notepad. So if you lost your phone and your notepad, come to the sound booth. Thank you.